Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to Joe Biden's cabinet. Just yesterday, Nina Tandon withdrew her nomination, asked Biden to withdraw her nomination to be director of the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. And I want to, that was a sad thing. She would have been great. She's the first one that went down in flames. She went down in flames because no Republican would back her. That means all 50 Democrats had to back her. Joe Manchin wouldn't back her. So she only had 49 votes. Republicans had 50. So therefore, Kamala Harris doesn't get to jump in. She can't jump in just to tie it up. She has to jump in only to break a tie. So Nina Tandon withdrew. And I'll give you the reasons, the ostensible reasons, the real reasons, and then the real problem. The ostensible reasons is she shot her mouth off a lot, insulting individual senators over the years. And frankly, I agree with what she said. I think it was funny as a crutch, funny as a crutch. She said that a vampire had a bigger heart than Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz. Well, she was right. A vampire does have a bigger heart than Ted Cruz. And frankly, all the rest of the senators would agree with her because it was Lindsey Graham, crooked little worm-like wormwood Lindsey Graham, who once said, if Ted Cruz were shot on the floor of the Senate, there'd be 99 senators who said they didn't see anything. They can't stand Ted Cruz. They can't stand Ted Cruz. But she also went after Lisa Murkowski, who was the one swing vote she might have gotten to offset Manchin. And when Murkowski voted for a tax bill that Nina Tandon didn't like, she said that Lisa Murkowski was high on her own supply. Well, that's not too terrible, but Lisa Murkowski wasn't pleased about that. She has a very tough re-election race. She took a very tough vote by voting to convict Trump, and she doesn't need this. She went after Bernie Sanders and some of the progressives, and one of the things I think is funny as a crutch is in 2008, Nina Tandon was very, very strongly for Hillary Clinton, as I was, frankly, at the time. And a guy named Fareez Shakir, who turned out to be Bernie Sanders' campaign manager in 2020, was very deep into the Obama campaign. And they were all at a function, and Shakir apparently asked Hillary about her Iraq vote for the Iraqi war. Nina Tandon hauled off and slugged Shakir. I mean, she's a tough cookie. She's a pistol. She is a pistol. She's a firecracker. Like her. So Bernie wasn't pleased. Bernie would have voted for her. The only one who didn't, who said he wouldn't vote for her was Manchin. But Bernie was none too pleased. And then he grilled her. He said, you know, you said some hard things. But then the cake was, everybody goes, well, Manchin's conservative. That's why he knifed her. It had nothing to do with that. Manchin has a daughter who works for a pharmaceutical company. She's honest. You know, she's highly compensated. Nina Tandon singled her out, saying she made too much money. Manchin and the folks in West Virginia were very proud that his daughter and somebody from West Virginia had a big job with a pharmaceutical company. They didn't like that. He didn't like the attack on his daughter. The other thing is, I've talked to some economists that had a very interesting subtext argument. They said, really, Nina Tandon, she's smart, she's a lawyer, good lawyer, but she's not really an economist. And a lot of economists think you should have an economist in there as head of the Office of Management and Budget. And so a lot of them, forget all of the identity politics around Nina Tandon, would have preferred an economist. So you put all that together and you go, Cruz has a vampire has a bigger heart than Cruz, which is true. Lisa Murkowski was high in her own supply. Ted Manchin's daughter makes too much money. And there were a bunch of other things, Tech, Bernie, and some of the progressives. And people on the right and the left didn't want her. The guy I love more than anything is Tester, Senator Tester from Montana. He's a Democrat. He said, if you're attacked by the far left and the far right, you're obviously well qualified. And he was one of her strongest supporters. Anyway, only had 49 votes, she went down. What is the problem other than that? Well, there's a real problem. Previous presidents at this time in their presidency, which is like 6 weeks into the presidency, almost 2 months, 6 weeks, had 84% of their cabinet and major agency appointments confirmed. 84%, that's the average. However, Biden has had only 13 of 23 cabinet members confirmed, a little over 50%. And he's had only 10 of the 15 core agencies like the CIA and that kind of thing, NSA, confirmed. A lot of the important ones were, but he's had a little over 50% of his cabinet appointments and something like two-thirds of his core agencies and everybody else at 84%. Why is that? Well, politics has gotten much more divisive. Josh Hawley, that skunk from Missouri, up until now had voted against every cabinet nominee of Biden, including Yellen for Treasury, including Secretary of State. He's going to do it for Attorney General, for Defense, everybody. He finally voted for one Biden appointment, which is a subordinate officer in the Justice Department. So he can go back to Missouri and say, I'm not an obstructionist. I voted for who? I forget her name, but, you know, there's somebody. So that's what's going on. That's what's going on. Nina Tandon, here's some word to people that want to be in a cabinet someday. Probably not the best idea to personally attack the 100 people who can make it happen. Probably better not to haul off and slug somebody who turns out to be Bernie Sanders' main guy and Bernie Sanders' campaign manager. I mean, I'm just saying. Probably a good idea not to talk about vampires and marijuana, high on your supply and all this kind of stuff. Probably a good idea not to attack guys' daughters who have a good job. Good job. And that's what happened. And also, it's probably a good idea in the Office of Management and Budget to put somebody in who deals with economics, not a lawyer. Now, it's true that lawyers can do great jobs, some of them, in managing. Some of the largest companies in the country promote their general counsels to be CEO. That's happened in a number of them. That's happened in DuPont. That's happened in a number of them. However, in the past, I'm not saying now. However, in government, if it's that highly technical a position, probably a good idea to put in an economist who doesn't talk about vampires, guys' daughters, and that kind of thing. One other favorable development, the House panel has now reissued the subpoena for Trump's tax records. Remember, he stonewalled everything, and especially when he was president, especially obviously when they had the House, especially, but even when Pelosi took over, they stonewalled it. Well, now Biden's president. We have the House and the Senate. They have reissued those subpoenas. The subpoenas have already been disclosed to the DA in Manhattan, but that's in the context of a grand jury. They say secret. In the House, they'll stay somewhat secret, but we got to get the camel's nose under the tent. We have got to get the camel's nose under the tent and look at Trump's tax returns, see how many Russian LLCs pump cash into him, who he's been dealing with, where he's taking his deductions, how he's valued properties inconsistently for property tax purposes and for lending purposes. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.